the grave by the handpost. I never passed through Chalk Newton without turning to regard the neighbouring upland at a point where a lane crosses the lone straight highway dividing this from the next parish. A sight which does not fail to recall the event that once happened there. And though it may seem superfluous at this date to disinter more memories of village history, the whispers of that spot may claim to be preserved. It was on a dark, yet mild and exceptionally dry evening at Christmas time, according to the testimony of William Dewey of Mellstock, Michael Mail, and others, that the choir of Chalk Newton, a large parish situate about halfway between the towns of Ivell and Casterbridge, and now a railway station, left their homes just before midnight to repeat their annual harmonies under the windows of the local population. The band of instrumentalists and singers was one of the largest in the county, and unlike the smaller and finer Mellstock string band, which eschewed all but the catgut, it included brass and reed performers at full Sunday services, and reached all across the West Gallery. On this night there were two or three violins, two cellos, a tenor viol, double bass, hautboy, clarinets, serpent, and seven singers. It was, however, not the choir's labours, but what its members chanced to witness that particularly marked the occasion. They had pursued their rounds for many years without meeting with any incident of an unusual kind. But tonight, according to the assertions of several, there prevailed to begin with an exceptionally solemn and thoughtful mood among two or three of the oldest in the band, as if they were thinking they might be joined by the phantoms of dead friends who had been of their number in earlier years and now were mute in the churchyard under flattening mounds. Friends who had shown greater zest for melody in their time than was shown in this. Or that some past voice of a semi-transparent figure might quaver from some bedroom window its acknowledgement of their nocturnal greeting, instead of a familiar living neighbour. Whether this were fact or fancy, the younger members of the choir met together with their customary thoughtlessness and buoyancy. When they had gathered by the stone stump of the cross in the middle of the village near the White Horse Inn, which they made their starting point, someone observed that they were full early and that it was not yet 12 o'clock. The local waits of those days mostly refrained from sounding a note before Christmas morning had astronomically arrived. And not caring to return to their beer, they decided to begin with some outlying cottages in Sidlinch Lane,